funny on the other side of it, I guess, but the guy that they were loaded yesterday. One, they'd boarded the flight, and they were sitting in Pittsburgh. I made it home from dropping them off, and then he's like, like right after I walked through the door, he was like, "Well, we're unboarding now because the guy that ran the catwalk, the bridge to the plane, hit the plane with the catwalk and dented the plane, so they couldn't take that plane, and so they had to unboard, wait for however long to reroute flights, and so they got rerouted yesterday and ended up on Oahu last evening, and then they're flying to Maui today. So they should be landing shortly if they're not already there. But praise God, they have made it to the islands anyway. So they'll be joining in staff meetings and conference from this point out. Hallelujah. All right, let's go ahead and pray over tithe and offering, and then we'll get into the word tonight. Father, we thank you so much for just your word. We thank you, Father, for being able to sow into fertile soil, into the ground, Father, that you have called us to here. Lord, that we would be vessels for you, that we would be used for your glory, for your purpose, even as we sow into Project Freedom, we sow our tithe and offering, we sow into the very various ministries of this house, Lord, that you would bless those homes abundantly, Lord, open up doors for them, witty ideas and inventions. Father, that you would give them promotion, jobs, and ideas, Lord, that they would be blessed beyond measure so that they can be a blessing to other people around them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to continue with the topic of love. Praise the Lord. Love. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As I said the other day, love is like the foundation of the Christian walk. God is love. And so everything that God does is motivated by love. And the opposite of that is fear. Everything that the enemy does and tries to do in a person's life is motivated by fear. So everything springs out of fear. Every root springs out of fear. But out of love, God operates through love. And whenever we have love, perfect love casts out all fear. And so there is a cyclical effect of loving God and loving others, being able to receive from God as well as loving God. And we've got to be able to do both, or we're going to be short-circuiting somewhere, and we will not have the flow of love through us like we should. So it's very important to understand love, to be able to walk in love, to be able to even look in our own hearts and understand the things in our heart so that we can uproot anything that keeps love from bearing fruit in our lives. Because if there's anything, just like the parable says of the sower, if there's things in our life that shouldn't be there, it's going to cause an obstruction, it's going to cause a problem, and it will keep fruit, it will keep love from growing in our lives. And then we can't look as much like Christ as what we need to look like. So this passage that I'm getting ready to read, man, it can be a hard one. If you're reading it, and if you're in a position where you've got some enemies or somebody that you're not entirely getting along with, you can look at this and go, ouch. But get ready, hold on. God's already prepared your heart. You've been worshiping him, so you're ready to take on the things of God. Amen? Say, Lord, mold my heart. Praise God. So Matthew 5, verse 43. It says, You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Has anybody been spitefully used before? Probably so, huh? But it says those who hate you, those who curse you, those who spitefully use you, and those who persecute you. Those are four different areas, four different types of hatred or vengeance or bitterness of the heart, things that people can come against us in. It doesn't even say to pray for those that you have a personality difference with. That's not even listed. Like, that didn't even make the cut. This says spitefully use, persecute, hate, and curse. But like personality difference didn't even make the cut on this one. And so even whenever it says that we need to pray for those that spitefully use us, well, what do you think it means if we've got a personality difference? A brother or sister in Christ that's not even spitefully using us, but we might have a little bit of a disagreement or conflict or whatever it is. Well, by golly, you better bet that God's going to tell you to pray for them too, right? Get along with our brother and sister in Christ. Amen. But it says to love them and bless them, do good to them and pray for them. So that right there is a formula that God says that we are supposed to do with our enemies or anyone that would come against us. But I tell you, when we're in that position, sometimes that's a lot harder to do than what it says. We can read that and go, yeah, sounds good. But then as soon as we're in that position, man, it can be hard to pray for somebody and do good to somebody that spitefully used you or persecuted you or cursed you. Like if anybody's ever like flipped you off driving by or yelled at you or cursed at you at work or something like that, does it make you get all bubbly inside and think, I'm going to buy that guy a gift? I'm going to go out today and get my coworker a good lunch today because they said those things to me today or they weren't so pleasant to me today. I'm just going to go out and buy them a plate lunch and a Coca-Cola. Most of the time, that's not our first reaction. But with the power of God, we can. I remember our first year in Hana. You know, our kids had lots of friends that they were around before that, and they were all, you know, they all got along. They were all accountable to one another. They were all homeschool kids. And so they all grew up with the same values, same traits, same morals. You know, all the parents were Christians. And so they hadn't really been exposed to too much difficulty when it came to other people being having a hard heart towards them. Well, then when we moved into the mission field, there was this one particular kid that did not like Zane. And of course, this kid, he was, first of all, a lot of you don't know Zane. Zane is our oldest child, and he lives in California, so you might not know his personality. But growing up, he would reason a lot. But he definitely wasn't like a street kid. You know, he wasn't like streetwise. He was a kid that would reason with you. So he was honestly trying to take up for another kid that was younger than him, but a lot more streetwise than he was. And so he was trying to take up for this kid. And he was telling the bigger guy, he was like, why don't you leave him alone? He's like half your age. And the guy's like, oh, you want to scrap? And he's like, well, you know, I could, you know, and he's going back to like all of his like Jedi Lego, you know, Star Wars moves. And we weren't even there at the present moment. He recounted the whole story to us later. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Zane. So anyway, while he's talking and reasoning to this guy, to this other young kid, the boy just hauls off and punches him in the stomach, I think knees him in the stomach and punches him in the eye, which totally threw Zane for a loop because he had never been in a fight before in his life. And so it was like a complete shock. And of course, one of the kids came over and told me, and of course, you know, being mama that I am, I'm like, what? You know, and I took off running to find where he was at and was like, what happened? And I didn't get the full story until later. But when we got home, you know, he's telling me and he starts crying. And I thought he was crying because he was hurt, embarrassed, whatever the case might be. But he wasn't. He was actually crying because he felt bad for this other kid. And his heart was so tender for this other boy that had, he was like, Mom, you know, if this is how he responds at age, you know, 12 or whatever he was, like, what's going on in his home that he would just retaliate like that over that? Why is he bullying these other kids? Why is he responding in this way? And so we just kind of had a heart-to-heart, and I didn't really say anything to him about how to handle it from that point on. But it was the next time when we were down at the park, because we were down there for community activities, he went over and he bought a Coke. and gave this boy, went up to the boy and gave him a Coca-Cola and a piece of gum. And the boy accepted it, and they never had a problem after that. In fact, they were, anytime the boy saw him, he was totally respectful to Zane. And he won him over with love. And so, and it's just like the Bible, how the Bible says to do good to your enemies. And so, you know, it was, it for me, looking at the situation, it spoke to me because I was like, man, you know, we as adults sometimes want to fight back. You know, we as adults sometimes we want to put up our armor and get, you know, defensive and be like hard with people and be like, well, see if I ever, you know, do anything for them again. But the thing is, when we respond with the love of God, and the thing is, he was tapping into the love of God, not his own love. See, that's the thing. It's the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ. He gives us the power. We can't tap into those things in and of ourselves. And that's why it becomes so difficult at times if you're trying to do it in yourself. Because if you're just trying to muster up the strength and trying to push through and trying to love somebody that's unlovable. But the thing is, you've got to dig deep in your spirit and realize, I don't have what it takes. But God does. And God dwells within me. So every resource that I need for love is in me. It dwells in me. The very Spirit of God dwells in me. So that means I can do it. That means I can tap into that love and reach down and pull that out and extend it to someone else. That means I have the ability. And when I'm doing that, what am I doing? I'm being an ambassador. I am being an example. In fact, it says to be a witness, that that's what we're called to do, to be a witness throughout the earth, right? Well, what does a witness do? A witness is one that's either going to tell what they saw or be the witness that explains or shows what it is that they have experienced or saw. Well, if we've experienced the love of God, then what do? We become a witness. That means we become an example to the world of who God is. So when we are actually showing the love of God towards others, even people that can be difficult, then we're being an example who God is. We're showing them Christ. We're showing them God by extending that love to other people. It's an amazing thing. Let's go ahead and finish reading this passage of scripture. I stopped at verse 44, so let's pick up at 45. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Just like I said, you are an example. A son is someone that looks like their father. In fact, the word that God uses, he uses two different words to describe a son or a daughter in God. One is technos, and the other is huios. Technos means that you are a son by birth. Like you are a son. But huios means that you are a son that looks and resembles like the father because you spent so much time with him. And so there's a difference. One can be like a birth son. Yeah, they're the birth son. But the other one begins to act like God, act like his father, look like his father, respond like his father. So there's a difference. And he calls us to be the huios, sons of God. To act like him, to respond like him. You know, people that have, like fathers that own a business or fathers that have an organization, and then they have either a birth son or a son in the faith that they send out to do their business, they'll give them their authority, they'll give them their name, they'll give them their credit card, everything, because they're trusting them to do business on their behalf. And so when they send that son out, whether it's a birth son or a son in the faith, just like Paul sent Timothy out, he sent Titus out to do what? To establish leaders and to do the work of Christ. He brought Timothy up in the faith and taught him what to do. He entrusted Timothy to make decisions and choices that Paul would make. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. As long as I follow God, then follow my example. So the things that we're to do are to exemplify or model what the Father would do. By doing this, see, people don't get to see God the Father come down. Jesus came down in the flesh and he was an example of God the Father. He was the visible image of God on earth. But Christ is now crucified, risen again, sitting at the right hand of the Father. So we become the examples. We become the models of Christ here on earth. And we do that through loving him. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on evil and on good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he's saying the world loves those that love them back. The world does things for people that do things back for them. So how are you any different if you operate the same way? But he says, but when you love beyond measure, when you love when it's hard, when you love when you're persecuted, when you love when someone's not nice, when you love when they're difficult to deal with, and you do that anyways with the love of God, then you become a model of your Father in heaven. You see, we are called ambassadors for Christ. And if you know anything about an ambassador or an embassy, whenever there's an embassy in another country, even like a U.S. embassy in another country, wherever that embassy is at has the same rights as the United States. The laws of the United States apply at that embassy and on those grounds. If you've ever seen the movies where somebody's running and they're in another country and they're trying to just make it to the U.S. embassy so they can be kept safe and the laws will apply to them, well, it's kind of like they're running to that safe haven. They're running to that place of peace, the place where they know the laws, where they know that they'll be safe. That's what you are. You are a citizen, an ambassador of heaven. So that peace, that love of God that resides in you, through the Holy Spirit, people run to you and they should find that in you. So when they come to you, the very fruits of the Holy Spirit should be evident in your life, that they're running to you to get that touch of heaven, to get that taste of God the Father, because they may not know him. They may not understand who God is. In fact, they may have seen a really bad representation of God the Father. They may have seen a misunderstood version of God the Father. Things that they were told when they were young, that God was an angry God, or that God didn't love them, or maybe conclusions that they came up with themselves because things happened to them. And so they came up with ideas that God doesn't love me, or God is just waiting to strike me down. God is a hard God. But through you, they begin to wonder, how do they love like that? How do they have peace like that? How do they have joy like that? How do they have patience like that? It must be something else because I've never seen that level of love before. So when we're able to look different from the world, it begins to stand out. It begins to look different. Go ahead and flip over to Luke chapter 6. This passage is a lot like the one I just read. Luke 6, verse 32. It says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you have hoped to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So you notice here that it says your reward will be great. Is your reward through people? No. Who holds your reward? God the Father. So when we're operating in love, then you've got to understand that your source is not the person. Your source is not what you're getting back from them. Your source is not whether or not they say a kind word or whether or not they give back to you. They're not your source. Many times we love people if they deserve it, so to speak, if they deserve it in our eyes. You're here to do what's right and to please him and to be the example of Christ here on earth. That's what we're called to do. And if it was based upon the response that we get, man, we'd be all over the place. Because we're not always going to get the response that we're hoping for in that moment. Some people take years. I don't know if you know the story of, like, Joyce Meyer's testimony. Does anybody know her testimony? I mean, it's wild. The love walk she had to go through. She was sexually abused by her father from the time she was like 5-6 years old, the whole time she lived in her parents' home till she was 18. Then she married the first guy that came along because she thought, well, I'm damaged goods. Nobody's going to want me. So he didn't treat her well. Ran off on her all the time with some other women. For 5 years, she dealt with that. She didn't want to go back home because of what she dealt with growing up with her dad. Her mom even knew about it, but didn't know what to do, was afraid to deal with it, so stayed. So if you can imagine dealing with that. I mean, she was literally raped in her home by her father, she said, at least 3 times a week. This wasn't just a one-time thing. This was ongoing for years, every single week. So when she finally met her husband and got out of there, she thought, I'm done. That's it. Good riddance. Leave that part behind. But when her parents got older, the Lord spoke to her and said, I want you to buy him a home and I want you to take care of him in their elderly years. And she was like, what? God, you saw what he did to me. And he still has never apologized for it. She thought, I'll just buy him some shack. And God said, no, you buy him a nice home. See, God is about honor and love. I mean, man. He is about honor and love, even despite that the detestable stuff that her father did to her whole life. But he said, love them. Love them. She dealt with abandonment from her mom, just feeling like mom never took up for me. Mom never stood up for what was right. She never protected me. She had all of those feelings that she dealt with. But God still said, love. And he didn't say just love, just, you know, go stand over here and love them in a different state. He said, show it by your actions. Because you know what? Loving them from a different state would have never sent the message of Christ's love into their heart. So she bought him a home. She took him to doctor's appointments. She paid for all their stuff. Took him grocery shopping. The whole time, and she's thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe they'll live for a year. They lived for quite a few years. She did that. And she said, and it was at a time where money was not, it wasn't like there was a ton of money. So this wasn't an easy decision. She did it continuously, week after week, took care of him, took care of him, took care of him. She said 3 years later, her father finally got to a place. He started crying. Her mom called and said, Joyce, come over. Your dad wants to talk to you. So she goes over to the house. And her father apologized. At 80 years old. 80 years old before he apologized. But it took 3 years of her loving them through action. You know what I found interesting? Get this. Her mom even asked her one time when she was younger. She said, do you love me? And she said, Mom, I don't love you like a daughter normally loves a mom, but I love you. Because she didn't have that kind of relationship because her mom wasn't the type of mom she should have been to her. But she says, but I love you. So she had to work through all of those emotions and all of the pain and all of the hurt and choose to love in action and in deed. See, sometimes it's not all about the emotional feeling. It's about the choice. It's about the choice of following the obedience of God and being the light that Christ wants us to be. Her dad got saved before he died. Praise God. And that's what it's all about. That by the time it was time for him to die, his heart had been given to God and given to Jesus Christ, and he repented. That's what our eyes should be set upon. Not on the offense, as hard as it may be at times, but on the outcome of Jesus' blood covering all of their sins. Why don't you go ahead and stand? I know some of you tonight might have gone through some of those even same moments that I even recounted. You might have dealt with abuse in your family. You might have dealt with abuse, physical, sexual, emotional. You might have gone through some very hurtful moments in life. And many times those things have to do with family. The hurts that we feel the deepest are the ones that we invest the most time in and the ones that we're closest to. That's why those hurts are so deep. Because we're supposed to be able to trust that person at a greater level. And when that trust is betrayed, it hurts. It hurts. But that's why God had to give us his love to be able to do it. So even this evening, if you'll just bow your head, close your eyes. If there are things that you need to deal with, if there are moments like that in your life that need to be forgiven, and let me say that the feeling may not necessarily be there. The feeling of forgiveness may not be there. But the choice has to be. And it doesn't mean, just like Joyce's story, it may not mean that that relationship is ever what it should have been. But the thing is, your heart needs to be pure.
You need to keep your heart pure, because out of your heart is the springs of life, the virtues of life. And if we don't want all of the taintedness to come out, if we don't want our wells to be tainted and impure, then we've got to keep our heart clean. So forgiveness has to be part of the remedy. And I can't do that for you. It's a choice that you have to make. But even right now, I believe that some of you are making that choice. I believe that some of you are saying, you know what? I choose. I choose to forgive. I may not feel it right now. I may not even feel an ounce of love. But remember what I said. True love is choosing, not feeling. So you choose to forgive and you walk in the choice of love. You're not basing it upon a feeling. So that should come as some relief, honestly. Because, okay, now I don't have to base it on feeling. I'm basing it on choice. I release them. I release them. In your mind right now, I even want you to see them released. I'm not holding on to it anymore. I release them. I'm not holding them in bondage anymore. I release them. Release them to God and let God deal with them. So that you can love God and love others and do what He's called you to do. If you'll just raise your hands with me and let me pray for you. Father, we come to you with yielded hearts right now. We come to you with everything submitted to you. Lord, that we would love the way that you loved us. No matter what we've done in life, Father, even if we have done the most horrendous things, you've forgiven us of it. So we release now other people that may have hurt us in our lives. We choose. We choose to forgive and we choose to release. We choose love over every bit of hatred, over every bitterness, even resentment, anything that may have dwelt in the hearts of your people. I pray right now that that gets crushed in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that there is no seed of bitterness in their heart, but there is only love that springs forth. And Father, that even this step tonight, that as they choose to walk in love, Father, that it just begins a momentum in their life, that they are able to love beyond measure, that it brings them into this path in life where they're able to love even the hardest of people, because you've given them that grace, you've given them that ability, that they draw from the wells of salvation and they release it, that you are their source. I thank you, Father, for the strength that you're giving them tonight to be able to do that. Father, we depend upon you. Our eyes are on you. It's not on people. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in people's hearts. Lord, that there would just be pure water that begins to flow through them. The pure water of life. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Everything gets flushed out. Every bit of the contamination that's been in their heart, anything tainted, anything impure, gets flushed out with pure water, pure heavenly water right now. By the wind of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch them and begin to heal those places. Father, that only you can heal. No man can heal them. But Lord, that every heart is healed by your presence and by your Holy Spirit, by your heavenly touch tonight. Lord, that those things are no longer places that were hurt the way that they were hurt before. But Lord, that you touch them, you heal them, give them insight, Father. Give them revelation, I pray, that only comes from you, that you are able to give. For eyes to see clearly, Lord, and not be tainted by any kind of bitterness any longer, but they see with the eyes of love. They see with the eyes of Christ. I thank you, Father, for it. God, we trust in you. We trust in your word. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, I pray, Father, even for relationships that need to be restored. Anyone that needs to rectify. Anyone that needs to go back into some places that maybe they've been putting off. Father, I pray for miracles to be done and for love to enter into those conversations and those hearts. And I thank you for mending them supernaturally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now walk in the freedom of God and know that he's given you the strength and he's given you everything that you need for godliness and to walk a walk of love. Love in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.